Welcome to today's interview here on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, the free speech video platform. And today we're joined by another free speech champion and also an analyst, researcher, remarkable woman. Her name is Karen Kingston. You know her. We've interviewed her before. Her Substack is KarenKingston.substack.com. And she joins us today with a new demand letter that you will find to be really, well, to contain bombshell information. A demand letter for all the counties in the state of Florida to immediately remove COVID-19 vaccine bioweapons from their counties. Welcome to the show today, Karen. It's always an honor to have you back on.
Thanks for having me, Mike. It's an honor to be here. And I'm excited to share, you know, my med legal analysis with your audience. As I mentioned to you before we started recording, I think a lot of people, if they follow me, they know I've been working with a lot of the residents in Florida. I've met with county commissioners, I met with sheriffs down there, and then I started, you know, reaching out to other states as well. I did a call a few weeks ago with some people in Colorado, and I wrote this demand letter for them, and then the folks in Florida said, hey, you know, we want a copy of that as well. So they really are taking action. We're not going to be rescued by the federal government, obviously. And even, you know, the leaders at the state level, we're not seeing the type of action that we need to protect our communities.
Right.
Yeah. I know your Attorney General Paxton, he started a civil investigation, you know, into Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. But, and that's fantastic. I mean, I applaud him for that. But at the end of the day, that these injections, by definition, are bioweapons. They are harmful, toxic injections that cause disease, disabilities, and death. And they need to be removed from the community. The same way, if you knew that there was a bomb in your child's building, you would go to your sheriff and say, get the bomb out of the building. You don't need a permission from anybody.
Exactly. Exactly. Really important point you're making right there. So you make an excellent point here, Karen. If there were a dirty bomb that were in a city, or even these days, just a mysterious package, right? Then law enforcement would come in and maybe have a bomb squad, and maybe they would try to remove that. You would hope, especially if they knew that it was going to kill or harm or maim individuals. And yet we have bioweapons in these COVID-19 so-called vaccines, which are not really vaccines. These bioweapons are present in every pharmacy, in every hospital, and they are killing people and they are maiming people and they're disabling people by the millions in America right now. So let's walk through your demand letter. I have it up on my screen right now. Let's show that demand letter. It's on your website. KarenKingston.substack.com. Let's walk through that.
Yeah, let's definitely go through that. And just let people know, you know, I am a med legal advisor. I used to run med legal meetings for companies like Pfizer and Allergan and whatnot. So this letter is a little bit lengthy, but it is a, you know, if you will, a legalese letter. So the opening is just an example. I just explain what I'm doing. We can keep scrolling through. I just explained that this is an example demand letter for Florida. And then the opening part, you would fill in yourself. It's got two. It has, you know, from your address, and then the demand is clearly there. And then I explain how you can address everyone. Let's say you want to write it to your school board. You list out everyone's name in the school board, and then you go hereafter referred to as the school board. That way you don't have to keep listing out their names. But let's just go straight now into the 12 key pieces of evidence. The first one is...
I'm on point one, yeah.
Yeah. So a biological agent or device or medical or product that does not prevent infection, does not protect it against disease, was not done under legitimate research, and these were not, is by definition a bioweapon. So we're going to go through those points. So point number one is they don't prevent infection. In Pfizer's data, which is straight from their phase 3 data, so again, one of the part of the definition of a biological weapon is that it doesn't prevent infection and it doesn't protect against disease. So Pfizer submitted to the FDA on September 17th of 2021 a post hoc analysis on their phase 3 data. And what they did, I think most people, I believe, are aware of this, but, you know, they had the group that was injected with their mRNA technology, and then they had a placebo group. But around, you know, in December of 2020, they began injecting the placebo group. And what they found was when they compared the two groups to one another, these are Pfizer's words. It says, our additional analysis appears to indicate that the incidence of COVID-19 generally increased in each group of study participants with increasing time post-dose two. And there's a screenshot. It's directly from their documents. So wow. They're saying once you get two doses, your risk for COVID-19 increases. And that is what it means. That's exactly what that means. And this was validated on the next slide in here in the Cleveland Clinic. So the Cleveland Clinic did an analysis of 51,000 employees. Some got zero shots, some got one, two, and some got three or more shots. So they began getting the boosters. Yeah.
Right. The more doses they received, the worse it became.
Yeah. So what they did is they took the time from the last dose over a 90-day period. And what they found is over a 90-day period, is, let's say you had two doses versus zero, then you had a threefold increase of getting infected. Now, if you had gotten a booster or two, that went up to a fourfold increase over a 90-day period versus not getting injected. So the more shots you get, the more likely you're going to come down with disease, a disease that they're calling COVID-19.
Okay. Extraordinary, but yes.
Yeah. So the other thing I want to talk about is that this is not a vaccine. And this whole concept that we can play around with the definition of a vaccine is a bunch of nonsense. Mike, there's a thing called a package insert where you get your indication. So when Pfizer got their FDA approval, they have to state what their vaccine does. So there, you can't tell me this nonsense about it doesn't prevent infection, because in the package insert, it says right there that Comirnaty, you know, or the mRNA vaccines by Pfizer are to prevent corona COVID-19 disease caused by the SARS-CoV-2 virus. That's what it's for. It's to prevent the disease caused by the virus. So it is to prevent infection and transmission. It's in their definition. And that's what they're legally bound to. And they fail to meet that definition.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, because it's not good to play their games about the changing definition of a vaccine. It's best to use what they're legally bound to, which is what's in that package insert and what's also in their studies.
Generally speaking, people believe that a vaccine is supposed to inhibit infection and transmission. I mean, that's what it's supposed to do. And this does not do that. Therefore, it is not a vaccine.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's straightforward.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think, you know, if you were working for Pfizer and defending them, you may want to try to throw in these weird definitions of vaccines that it's not even worth, you know, you just say, no, cut it out. That's nonsense. You know what the definition of a vaccine is. It's here in your labeling. It's in your clinical trials over and over again. So that's important. And they fail to meet that definition. So they don't prevent infection, we just showed. And we keep going through. We're also going to show that they don't prevent serious disease.
Okay, so that's point four in your mm-hmm. document here. That it increases the risk.
Yeah, for severe disease and hospitalization. So this whole concept that, you know, you're less likely to be hospitalized, that's a bunch of nonsense too when you look at Pfizer's actual data. So they said within 1 week of their first or second dose in the data they submitted in November 2020, 409 people came down with COVID-19 cases that could have masked clinically significant adverse events, right? So these were severe cases. And they're saying, we're not sure if it was our vaccine or a virus that caused it. It was their injection that caused it.
Of course, yeah.
But they're calling it COVID-19 that wasn't diagnosed, right?
Right.
So that's just some more evidence that it caused severe disease. And that is defined as, there's a full definition below under the initial new drug application if you keep going down. You know, low oxygen levels, respiratory failure, being put on a ventilator, liver failure, kidney failure, neurological dysfunction, admission to the ICU or death. And they're saying, we're not sure if it was our shot or it was a virus. And okay. It happened within 1 week. Yeah. So that's more evidence. And then also we know that all the COVID-19 injections cause stroke, heart attack, autoimmune disease, miscarriages, birth defects, blood clotting, myocarditis, inflammatory syndrome, and other diseases and death.
Yes.
So, yeah, so this slide is very powerful because this shows that they knew these were going to be the outcomes. And if you go on, this also shows that they knew, both Pfizer, the FDA, Johnson & Johnson, and Moderna knew that they were breaking the law in regards to FDA safety trials, because this is in violations, you keep going down, 21 USC 312.41. Keep going down. And what that says is that in a phase one trial, if human subjects are going to be put to at an unreasonable risk, you need to stop the trial.
Okay, so criminal human experimentation on civilians, that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that is a really, thank you for reading the subtitles that I put up there, because that's a really important point to make, is that, you know, 21 USC is the Food and Drug Consumer Protection Act, and it's put in place so that pharmaceutical companies don't engage in criminal experimentation on adults and children, meaning the product has to be, the benefits have to outweigh the risks, right?
Right.
And people are like, well, what is a safe product? It's very easily defined, Mike. It's, the FDA defines it as the benefits of the product outweigh the risks. So if there's going to be more harm, then that product is not safe. And if they, and Pfizer knew, and all the pharmaceutical companies and biotech companies knew that these injections were going to cause neurological disorders, you know, paralysis, myocarditis, death, autoimmune disease. They knew this was going to happen at a high rate. You know, we saw 409 people within 1 week came down with some kind of severe diseases. That's 2% of that population right there. So they engaged in criminal human experimentation. This is in violation of, and to pretend that they have immunity is in violation of the 5th and 14th Amendment. No one shall be deprived of your life without due process of law. It's in violation of the Nuremberg Code. It's in violation of Geneva Convention. So this is right out of Mengele. This is right out of World War II experimentation. It's important that people understand that because when they knew this was going to cause more harm, they immediately engaged in a criminal act.
Well, but I agree with you, of course, but knowing that that was a criminal act, shouldn't these FDA officials, frankly, face arrest if they set foot in Florida? I mean, shouldn't Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, actually order Florida law enforcement to arrest FDA officials if they set foot in the state?
I agree with that statement, and they should arrest the individuals at Pfizer who were on the independent review committee. I have those names. It was in the data dump. So the individuals, the scientists that oversaw Pfizer's phase 1, 2, and 3 trials, they should all be charged with a class 1 felony in the state of Florida,
right,
for conspiring an attempted murder, you know, with use of a bioweapon and enabling access to a bioweapon by civilian adults and children. So maybe, I agree the FDA is also...
maybe we can entice them to come to Florida by promising like a Disney pedophile party or something, and then they would come down, and then DeSantis could just jump in.
Only if they get their booster, then they can go on the ride. They've got to get their booster shot, though, right?
Right, exactly. No, I mean, but these, I mean, jokes aside, these are some serious criminals who have mass murdered, in my view, a large number of people. And it may come down to the states to be able to actually carry out the arrests and indictment of these individuals.
It should. I mean... it's going to happen. I mean, obviously, Merrick Garland's not going to do anything, you know, so that's never going to happen. So it is going to have to come down to the state level, but I think we're going to need a ground up. We're going to need a ground up swelling. So it's going to take local community members to speak to their law enforcement and to speak to their county commissioners and to speak to their school boards and create a groundswell.
So I agree. And point 7 then continues with this, that you say the FDA knowingly placed adults and children at unnecessary risk for injury or death from using a harmful and toxic agent. So here we go, even more of a criminal offense.
So there's this other misinformation, false information out there that the emergency use authorization laws provide immunity to the FDA and Pfizer. And that's straight from their guidance. And it's also in the laws that based on their known evidence, they have to determine that the benefits outweigh the risks. So they have to determine that the product is safe. It's, you know, it doesn't take, it's in black and white. They knew that these products weren't safe. So they broke their own immunity shields because they ignored the laws that regulate the biologics, vaccine, and medical device industry.
So all it would take is what? The proper court to recognize that this immunity shield is null and void?
To get the, well, if we, I mean, it, what, well, what my goal has been since day one is to stop the, to stop children and adults from being injected with these toxic weapons, right? So the point of this letter is, you know, a sheriff can actually seize these, in law enforcement, can seize the shots without a warrant if they understand the information.
And that, and that's what you're calling for, is for law enforcement to go throughout counties across Florida and seize mm-hmm. these biological weapons that are labeled COVID-19 vaccines.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So okay. we can maybe wrap up the last few points.
Yeah, point eight.
As it gets to.
Pfizer and the FDA knowingly place children at unnecessary risk. That's.
Oh, well, this is a good point. But so this is an important point. So they met in June of 2021 to discuss the pediatric studies. And it says right in their own document that to conduct a clinical trial with children to prove reduced infection in the vaccinated children versus unvaccinated would be infeasible, would be impossible, because children don't get infected.
Right.
So there was no risk for the children to begin with. So they can only put them at risk by injecting them. And then it's the next point that that is the most damning point that always makes my blood boil, I believe. The November 20th, 2020. So a lot of people thought that was just for 16 years of age in adults and older. But there was a couple thousand children. They looked at data from 100 children ages 12 to 15, and they submitted that on November 20th. And it says the reactogenicity data, so that's those severe adverse events, from 100 children ages 12 to 15, right there it says, does not support a benefit risk determination. Therefore, it's not presented in the document. Pfizer gave the FDA pretty damning evidence on children aged 12 to 15. They clearly state the data showed that this was harmful to children, that the benefits did not outweigh the risks, and they told the FDA to cover up the data.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Literally in black
criminal
and
collusion.
White.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's in black and white. This isn't, it's in black and white, Mike. Literally. They told us. They're like, there's no way this can help kids from our data. We're going to start, they literally scrapped those kids, I'm sorry to use that term, and started over with a new batch of kids. And did antibody testing instead of infection.
So why isn't, I mean, what about the Attorney General of the state of Florida, or what about the Surgeon General of the state of Florida? You know, I mean, he's been outspoken about a lot of this, but what about the AG of states? Are you getting this document into the hands of various AGs around the country?
I have sent it to AG Moody. I've gotten no response. AG Moody is Florida's Attorney General.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I have not gotten this. You know, I hope to be able to get into communications with AG Paxton in Texas.
Yes.
But I just don't. I don't know if you know this, Mike, but I'm kind of ignored. I don't have a seat at the table. So.
Well, but that, I mean, all by design. We are all a push to the margins. They want to silence us all.
Yeah, I mean, I was originally in discussions like with Senator Ron Johnson, and then, you know, I don't know, you know, certain other experts determined, there's determinations being made that, the other thing is, I'm a med legal advisor, I'm an analyst, I literally prepare documents like this that can stand up in a court of law, you know, so I would love to get in touch with these attorney generals, you know.
Well, maybe, yeah, we can probably help to some degree with that. But it seems like, you know, obviously, pharma plays a very big role in a lot of governorships, a lot of campaigns, a lot of states across the country. And of course, pharma doesn't want any of this to come out. I mean, what if this liability shield were pierced through a class action lawsuit or a criminal prosecution of some kind? And then it turned out that, well, these drug companies are liable for all the damage and all the deaths that have happened. I mean, this could bankrupt Pfizer. and other companies.
It would bankrupt the it would bankrupt the other companies, and it would bankrupt synthetic biology and parts of the biotech industry, because they're using what they call mRNA technology is the lipid nanoparticle gene editing technology. So SynBio, synthetic biology, is a huge division within biotechnology. The DOD just gave $500 million in this first quarter funding synthetic biology. So that's using lipid nanoparticle technology in food, water, animals, everything, using LNPs to create new species. James Clapper in 2016, former IC advisor IC member under Clinton, said that this lipid nanoparticle technology was a weapon of mass destruction. Because when you're forcing the evolution, when you're directing the evolution, your gene editing of species, you're forcing its extinction.
Wow. This is like an extinction protocol targeting human children. Let's go to point nine.
Yep.
You say 40% of Florida residents who were early recipients of the injections experienced serious harm or injury, and they were unable to work or perform other daily activities. And this comes out of the VSafe database. So, I mean, right there, there's more evidence.
Yeah, and this is, you know, this is 10 million people downloaded this app who got the injections early. They have 4 million active files, you know, across all 50 states. And it was consistent across all 50 states that 4 out of 10 people either had to go to urgent care, seek medical attention, or could not go to school or work or perform activities. The only state that was an anomaly was Texas. For some reason, it was 15%. But consistently 4 out of 10 people. So if there was a school that was serving some kind of new organic milk, and then the next day, 4 out of 10 students and faculty didn't go to school because they were sick or had to go to the hospital or see a doctor because they drank the new milk, right? They would pull the milk.
Yeah, the milk would be banned.
Yeah, and if they didn't, a bunch of parents would show up with the cops and say, pull the milk and arrest the lunch lady, right? I mean, they wouldn't tolerate this.
Right.
You wouldn't keep serving it.
So, go ahead.
But what?
Well, it's just, it seems like there's a total lack of willingness among, you know, local governors or law enforcement to go against the FDA. Because the FDA says something, even though it's a total lie and the actual facts contradict what the FDA says. A lot of state governors and state AGs don't want to go against the FDA because they don't want to butt heads with the federal government. Are you seeing that as well?
Yeah, and I think that there is this kind of theater that happens from you know, government officials and law enforcement where, you know, they'll say they'll start an investigation, which just means they're going to, you know, an investigation means we're going to look at it really, really hard. The evidence is in black and white. I mean, it's right there. Pfizer's saying we're harming children and we're going to keep doing it.
Wow.
So, you know, I think there's just the people who truly believe in humanity. I mean, yes, the Constitution, yes, our unalienable God-given rights. But if they actually believe in humanity, they want to protect their neighbors. They want to protect their children, their children's children, you know, and the posterity of not just this country, but literally, you know, of the human species, we need to be much more vocal and active than we are. I mean, I've been disheartened sometimes when I speak to government officials. And there was one woman, and she was a mother and a grandmother. And when I was going through the baby data, and by babies, I mean 6 months to 23 months, right? There's 344 babies who were supposed to receive three microgram shots of Pfizer's vaccine over an 8-week period. Well, Mike, only three babies made it to the end of the 8 weeks. We don't know what happened to 341 babies. Reasons for withdrawal include adverse events and death. Right. And when I asked her, she kept giving me the hand. I said, we need to get these shots pulled out of our communities. Babies are being injected. And her response was, well, abortion clinics are still open.
What? So therefore it's okay to keep killing babies and children? I mean,
I don't, Well, but then, I mean, my child is now a grown man, but I mean, I just sat there thinking, I mean, if you have a 2-year-old adorable little toddler and you're telling me the government has the right to disable or kill my child because an abortion clinic is open? I mean, it was like talking to a demon.
It's insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is what we're running into more and more. I mean, the normal approach of logic and reason is just completely abandoned. And also the rule of law is abandoned. I mean, let's be honest. We're living in a country where there is no functioning court system any longer that adheres to the rule of law and real justice. It you know, the DOJ, the FBI have zero adherence to equal justice under the law, which is one of our constitutional rights, by the way. But the same thing's true in medicine and science. They've just abandoned everything, Karen. I mean, you've got Scientific American magazine pushing transgenderism, even though they would mock someone who said the earth was flat. But when they say a man can have a baby, then they embrace it and say that's real. So, you know what? They've lost all anchors to reality.
But that's why we need to be vocal, and that's why we need to be active and literally fight like your life depends on it, because it does. I don't think people understand that, you know.
Aren't we past that point almost, though, Karen? I mean, if people were going to wake up, the masses, and fight against their own extermination, they would have done so, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, maybe more. I mean, they're not going to save themselves.
I don't think so. I think people were given hopium, right? I fell for it. When I first came forward, I was told, fix 2020 and Trump's going to come in and fix everything. That was just there's a thing called, you know, people call them psyops. It's called extrinsic fraud in the legal world, which is, you know, someone may misrepresent material evidence or facts or law, you know, or propose something that's fictitious as a resolution that's never going to happen so that victims don't take action. So I think some people had hopium.
So you're saying that the hopium, which is let's invoke a lot of the Q conversations or the white hat conversations, was a ploy to distract people while, you know, the stab wounds to the nation were continuing to be inflicted upon us all. Is that a fair summary of what you're saying?
That was the consequence of it. So what was the, you know, if you want to know someone's intentions, look at the consequences. What were the outcomes?
Yeah.
So what were the outcomes of the Q stories? No one took action.
Well, yeah, it was always a little strange that all the Q information would be so cryptic, you know, so mysterious. It's like, well, if there's really an anonymous person who knows what's happening, why don't they just come out and say it? Why do they have to speak in code all the time if it's public? Right? I mean, there were a lot of signs that something's not right with that.
Yeah. There was a lot of signs with that. I was told though, if we fix the 2020 election, then, you know, Trump's going to come forward and stop the shots and everything. And, you know, that there's no indication that that would ever have, that was ever going to happen. There's just no indication of it. I think what's happening is people have hope. They're holding on to hopium instead of looking at facts, evidence, and reality.
Well,
and,
yeah,
and that's,
I think you're right.
Yeah, and I think if you take a look at facts, evidence, and reality, then they would be more impassioned to say these injections are bioweapons. They need to be removed. It needs to be the first step in dismantling this attack on our country and this attack on humanity. These can only cause disease, disabilities, and death. There's one of my Substacks that's up there is the DOD contract states that the injections contain electromagnetic devices. People are being injected with nanotechnology. No one was told that, because if they were told that, they would have said no.
Well, right, and let's also get to point 11, because of the current document, it says mRNA vaccines contain nanotechnology that is patented for use as a bioweapon. This is in your story.
Yeah, this is in the Substack. So I pulled this just because this was the easiest document to understand. It's just the publication in American Chemical Science, and it states that mRNA technology is nanotechnology, right? And this was the gateway to open up the use of nanotechnology on all biological life forms, and specifically in humans. So the manufacturers don't cover up that this is nanotechnology. You know, you can find information on their websites. It's in the DoD contract that these are nanotechnologies. It's in the peer review publications that these are nanotechnologies. Yet, you know, we have leaders on our side that say, don't use the term nanotech because you're going to sound like a crazy person. Well, words influence thought. So people were told they can't use the term nanotech, so they can't think about what was done to them.
Right.
Yeah. These contain nanotechnology. It's not crazy. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's, and if you go and sit in a synthetic biology conference or go down to Thermo Fisher, you know, or Moderna, they talk about the nanotechnology.
Well, the medical literature, the scientific literature is rife with all kinds of papers about nanotech, even like gold and silver nanoscale particles used to deliver drugs to people. I mean, it's very common, as you know.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone's pretending like it's a crazy theory, and it's not. It's extremely common.
It is.
And it's toxic, though, too. And the fact that, you know, as you go through, if you, you know, go on some of my other Substacks, the fact that these nanotechnologies that they're calling mRNA technologies, that they respond to outside electromagnetic frequencies is quite scary. You know,
So they can
get outside signals to assemble. They can get outside symbols to move to different parts of the body. They can receive electromagnetic frequencies. This is in the FDA's document that explains nanoparticles to absorb thermal heat to then kill the cells and tissues that they surround.
So you're even showing a patent here, U.S. patent number. What is that? 9539210B2. This is a patent of an NIH-sponsored vaccine nanotechnology for a bioweapon.
Yeah, well, it's one of the uses in here is for a bioweapon. So the patent is called vaccine nanotechnology. Wow. I've had this patent since May of 2021. And on section 9, it says, you know, we know that these LNPs have payloads. Well, one of the things it can deliver is a chemical toxin, an agent of biowarfare.
Yeah. Exactly. It's right there.
It's right there.
Okay. Well, let's go to point 12 then. So from your post on Substack, a biological weapon or weapons of mass destruction, allowing their use on civilians is a first degree felony in the state of Florida. Good point.
So this we should go, if you're going to make this letter, and I'll do another one for Texas next, but you have to cite the law in your state. So your state law. So every state has a definition for a bioweapon. In the state of Florida, it's chapter 790, section 166, and it's under weapons and firearms. And they define biological weapons as weapons of mass destruction. And a biological agent is any biological product that may be engineered through biotechnology.
Okay, right? That's pretty broad.
That is, exactly. So that can be, that's these lipid nanoparticles, that can be these spike protein payloads, that can be a biological weapon. But then it goes on to the 18 USC that says is known to cause, I don't have it in front of me, disease, disabilities, and death or harm to a human. And then you have the 18 USC was not done under bona fide research. So that's the bioweapon. And then you can be charged with a felony if you conspire to or allow access to a weapon of mass destruction.
Gosh, I mean, under this, there's a lot of things going on in agriculture that are also bioweapons based on this definition. Yeah.
Well, they have to prove that it's harmful.
Well, right. I'm thinking about certain, for example, corn, GMO corn that's grown with BT toxin. And so it's engineered into the food to grow a toxin that kills living systems. What happens when we eat that toxin, right? So
yeah, that's illegal. That's correct.
Yeah, that should be a felony crime. Well, technically, by definition, it is a felony crime. But what you're talking about is even more perverse, which is the people being injected with these bioweapons.
Yeah, and I think we have to start where we need to start, but I'm on the same page with you in regards to what's being done to our food supply. I've been sitting in on venture capital conferences for synthetic biology, and it's terrifying. The last conference I sat in, they said they want eggs without chicken, meat without cows, plants without sun or water.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, so, and they can do it using lipid nanoparticle technology and CRISPR-Cas9 that's in the LNPs.
Eggs without chickens.
Yep.
Well, then what about mRNA injections into beef? Because then under this definition, couldn't that also qualify as a biological weapon?
Yeah, because the I have that patent for the use on livestock, and the LNPs, the bioweapons, the nanoparticles, they are virtually indestructible. So they did testing on the meat up to 170 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, just because they were testing to see, like, would it survive a well-done steak, basically? And it does.
Wow. Okay, and then also in your document here, you cite another Florida law that says a person who conspires to use or who makes readily available to others a weapon of mass destruction commits a felony of the first degree. So in other words, every doctor, every hospital, every pharmacist that's pushing these COVID bioweapons jabs is also punishable by imprisonment for a term of years not exceeding life. So in other words, it could be life in prison for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that goes to the school boards and stuff too. So,
right.
But because they're making this, they set up, you know, clinics at schools. And so, you know, this needs to stop. This is, and the fact that, you know, I believe we were misled by people. I said this was a bioweapon from day one. And when we were told to calm down, you know, definitely shouldn't be in children, but let's make it a choice. We've created a confused nation, right? A confused nation that was, unfortunately, and, you know, maybe due to lack of knowledge, was being misled. Our side was being misled.
So who is, okay, we're all aware of the extreme censorship that has taken place, and there's a lot of evidence coming out now about how the Biden regime and the White House were complicit in the censorship, mm-hmm. Taking people like you and myself, of course, and others out of the public conversation. But in addition to the censorship, how are they preventing people from learning about this information that you've just compiled?
So I've seen even like a doctor's conferences speaking where a doctors will interrupt someone if they start talking about nanotechnology. They'll say, no, you don't. There's no evidence of nanotechnology. You don't want to call this a bioweapon, right? So that information is being actively suppressed. And then when it was October 2022, I went through the artificial intelligence nanotechnology that the mRNA was just the software programs, that this stuff is all synthetic RNA or DNA. So it's synthetically recreated genetic material, basically. And that was in October of last year, and I got a lot of phone calls to knock it off. To not call these bioweapons, to not talk about the nanotech.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even are you talking to, I mean, you don't, I'm not asking you to name any names, but you mean even from the alternative media or?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. And I think people were misled. I'm not saying that all these people had bad intentions, you know?
Right.
I'm just saying that some of them were misled. But, you know, if someone is a self-proclaimed expert in this field and is saying there's no such thing as nanotech, there's a problem.
So wait a minute. Let me just be
not
clear.
Not a doctor. I'm not saying you're a doctor, you would know that there's nanotech.
Okay.
You know.
But you're talking about experts in the field.
Yeah.
So people called you and told you to stop talking about nanotech in the vaccines.
Yes, because I had no credibility, and this will just destroy whatever credibility I still had.
That's left. What they told you.
Yeah, that's what I was told. Yeah.
And we find nanotech all throughout the patents, even documents from the drug companies on their own websites, in the FDA's documents. It's all over the place.
Pfizer doesn't even call it a vaccine on their website. Like, when they go through it, they call it mRNA technology.
Right.
That's what they call it. Okay.
So what, I mean, honestly, what the hell? I mean, what, why? I'm really glad we're having you on here today. I think this is actually the bigger story than everything that we just talked about. that there's an effort to silence you because you're digging a little too deep, I guess, into the nanotech that is in these so-called vaccines. I mean, that's the story.
Yeah, there is a big, to say, I mean, I've always been very open, I think, and generous with my research. I don't say, but to silence, that there is nanotech. That's been a big part of it. And definitely to silence, I think the attempts have been more to just discredit me, but I'm an analyst and a med legal advisor. I literally read documents for a living. That's what I do. I go through thousands of pages, of documents, and I simplify it for doctors. Simplify it for attorneys. It's just because this is what I do for a living. If people knew that this was nanotechnology, meaning electromagnetic devices, that can communicate with external electromagnetic devices, they would have never agreed to being injected with them.
That's right. So, okay, this is really astonishing, but let me wrap up your letter here, because this article you have on Substack is kind of like a template that people can use themselves, and they can use their own name and their own local, doctors or county names and so on. But here you're saying, as an example, I recommend educating residents on how to take criminal action against the manufacturers under state and federal laws that regulate the use of bioweapons. And I think you make a really important point here. Just in a broad sense, the FDA liability shield for these companies cannot shield companies from engaging in biological weapons, weapons of mass destruction deployment against civilian populations. I mean, that's absurd. It's a violation of the Geneva Convention,
it's a violation of the Geneva Convention. And when Russia called out the United States for doing it, the United States said, no, we have something called dual use of research funds, and we can develop bioweapons. We just can't deploy them on civilians. That was their response. Well, they did deploy
them
on civilians.
Right. They are deploying them on civilians.
Yeah.
Wow. So how does this ever stop? This is a global extermination experiment. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
When does this ever stop? Because they can just roll out another weapon. They probably are planning to do so. And then claim it's the next pandemic, and you have to take a new jab for that.
Well, that's why it's so important for people to understand that these injections are weapons of biowarfare. That the lipid nanoparticle technology has always been developed as a weapon of biowarfare for purposes of doing non-human genetic editing to the human genome and delivering weapons. I can go back to a 1996 patent with Dr. Malone's name on it that says that the cationic liposome technology was used to deliver cobra venom toxin and ricin.
Cobra venom toxin?
And ricin.
And ricin.
And ricin is only a weapon. It has no therapeutic use whatsoever. So these were always developed as weapons. And, the government working with the industrial medical, complex, for decades now has just been doing, mRNA research on cancer victims. We've talked about this, people with rare autoimmune diseases that have days, weeks, or months left to live, so that when they die after they're injected with the weapons, they can just say it was the disease.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, and that's what they're saying now. When people die now, they're saying it was COVID.
Yeah. But these are, we're talking about, 6-month-old babies, young girls, young boys, who had their whole lives in front of them. We're not talking about a stage 4 cancer patient who had 3 days left to live. And they're exterminating them. They're murdering them.
But
that's what's happening.
Back to my pending question here. If people, even members of law enforcement, their children are being exterminated. And so far they're just standing back and allowing it to happen. In fact, many parents who may be cops or working for the state of Florida, let's say, or working for the county, they take their children in to get injected, and then those children die, and they still do nothing, many of them. I mean, humanity has become so passive that they will just line up and die.
I think people are, they just don't see evil in the world. I mean, what Carl Jung said, what if you that's why he did all that shadow work, right? You have to acknowledge the evil that you have in your own heart. Otherwise you won't see it in the world. And if you refuse to see evil in the world, you're going to be annihilated to the exact level of your naivete. And I think that's part of what's going on, is that people just aren't acknowledging it. And for me, when I spoke to victims, when I showed them that October 22nd, 2020 slide, where the FDA knew all of those serious diseases were going to be an outcome, you know, the neurological dysfunctions, the myocarditis, the strokes, the blood clotting, you could see a light bulb went off. Something switched in their persona. They went from, I just don't want this to happen to anyone else, to, you know, let's go get those evil people. They want justice, because I think a lot of people are thinking, you know, oh, this was just a vaccine gone wrong. No, it's a bioweapon going according to plan is what it is.
Very important point. It's a bioweapon going important according to plan.
Yeah.
This is a global depopulation agenda, and it's right on schedule.
I think they're ahead of schedule.
You think they're ahead of schedule?
I think they were surprised at how many people lined up, in especially like in America, and just took the shot.
Well, I'm shocked too.
I am too. I just thought never in a million years is someone going to take a product under Operation Warp Speed and inject it into their body. I thought there's no way they would do it to their children.
You and I come at this from a point of view of still being intelligent and rational, and we live in a society of the most insanely dumbed down morons that it's beyond imagination. I mean, and this is a true story. A member of my family recently went to a doctor's office and was attempting to pay for services, and the doctor's assistant at the desk there said, it's $398, and my family member gave them $400 in cash. Mm-hmm. The person could not calculate the change, tried to use a calculator.
No.
Yes, tried to use a calculator, couldn't figure out the $2. My family member finally said, look, it's $2. And I kid you not, the person behind the desk said, how do I know that that's the right answer?
No.
Yeah, it's so bad. It's like, if these people, I mean, they're so dumb. They're beyond insanely stupid.
That's not everybody. So
yeah, I know it's not everybody, but those are people who work for doctors, for God's sake. Yeah. Right?
Well, one of the things that I know as a communication expert though too is that people, they don't tend to believe facts and evidence. They believe people. And that's why we need to push other experts to tell the truth, and we need the media to. So like, for example, the fact that President Trump has not called these weapons is a major problem. Like, let's say I had a brother in the military. Now, I could call my brother in the military, hypothetically, I have three brothers, none of them in the military, and say, whatever you do, don't get the shot. Look, I do this for a living. I've always taken care of the family. I'm an analyst. Don't get it. My mother could call them, right, and tell them the same thing. But, you know, if they're in the military, they might say, well, if this was truly not safe, President Trump would tell me.
Right.
So the power, or Tucker Carlson, or, he followed Rachel Maddow. But people believe people that they get information from that they see as a leader, and them not saying something is more powerful than a family member, a loved one, and even a spouse sometimes, what they have to say. So there's a lot of responsibility on the shoulders of our leaders and of our media. And the fact that they're not telling people that these are weapons, that the manufacturers need to be criminally charged for this because they knew this was going to cause disease, disabilities, and death. The fact that they're not saying that is enabling literally the manufacturers to get away with murder.
It's complicity in terrorism. I mean, this is bioweapons terrorism.
Yeah.
Combined with psychological terrorism from the media, combined with financial terrorism.
That's a good point. They're taking an active role in the psychological warfare.
They are.
Or in the extrinsic fraud. They are misrepresenting material facts and evidence to the American people. causing the disease, disabilities, and death of innocent children and adults.
Exactly. Exactly. It makes you wonder how many Americans will still be alive in 10 years. You know, with all the infertility, the spontaneous abortions, plus the myocarditis deaths, and who knows what else is happening, all the strokes, you know.
People need to speak up. I do want to give people hope, though, too, because it was on your show when I went through the EDTA, how it stops, it stays, it slows down this technology, dissolves it somehow. And I know Dr. Anna Mahalsia in Washington, she's been using EDTA successfully to clear people's blood. I've personally had probably about 20 EDTA IV treatments, and it's helped me tremendously.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah, I'm with you on that. I want to give people solutions as well, and we do consistently on the show. But what you brought us today is jaw-dropping. It points at the horrifying truths that we must face. So, look, in wrapping this up, by the way, what's your summary of this, or the final point you want to make here?
The final point, we'll go to my Substack, Demand Florida. What is it called? I just wrote it before we got on. The Karen Kingston Substack. It's a free letter. It's long. I mean, you're going to have to take time to go through it. There's another one that's called Can We Talk? It's shorter. You can start there. That's free. And understand some of these key points. And share them with people. I've been asked to put together a brochure, just like I used to make brochures, you know, for the doctors, and educational brochures. So I'm going to work on that next. But let people know this information. It's important, and let people know, like, you know, I think a good way to approach people in your community and your family is that, you know, I always go to the scripture, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, a wise mind. And because you love them, you need to talk to them about this information, that this knowledge that you have, because you want to protect them. You don't want them to be afraid, but you want them to be protected.
Right.
And I think people need to start handing this information out, you know, print out that Substack, hand it out to pharmacists and offices, you know, go to the pediatrician offices. I think we do need to start a campaign across the pediatrician's offices. Yeah. I mean, my blood is just boiling what they're doing to the children.
Absolutely.
With these shots.
Yeah. No, it's beyond horrifying. It's pure evil. It's in my view, it's satanic what they're doing. But you are doing an amazing job of shedding light on this. And Karen, you're always welcome here. And
thank you.
I'm really glad you're using Substack and getting your content out that way. And of course, we'll have you back as you have more information. In the meantime, I would encourage everybody to visit your Substack. It's karenkingston.substack.com. It's called The Kingston Report. And you can, you know, you can be a supporter, you can be a subscriber, you can be emailed every time she posts something new there, which is how Substack works. And Karen, you know, keep me posted, and we'll do our best to spread the word and have you back on when you have another bombshell to drop, because you're like, you do more bombing raids than the Russian Air Force at this point. I mean, it's incredible. You're just dropping bombs, document bombs, I should say, every time. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that's up there that's featured right now, the one on the DoD contract, that's a subscriber one. But the Pfizer DoD contract clearly articulates that these contain devices.
Wow.
So, so we have to start saying that, Mike. It's not a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
People were injected with nanotechnology devices. They're electromagnetic devices.
Well, there we go. So keep me posted. We'll have you back. In the meantime, don't lose hope. Keep exercising your voice. We'll do our best to amplify that with you. And maybe we'll still have enough people left to save where we won't lose human civilization, right? That's our goal, is to still have enough of us surviving that we can rebuild society.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what we do want. You know, we want to have children and grandchildren and great, great grandchildren.
Indeed.
So,
indeed.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, Karen, thank you for joining me today. We appreciate you. And for all of you watching, as always, share this video, and you can repost it with our permission. Go ahead and do so, and link to Karen Kingston's site on Substack, and give us credit back here at Brighteon.com, which continues to be censored, by the way, by Twitter. Another piece of information relevant to the fact that we're all being silenced in different ways. Makes you wonder, doesn't it, what Elon Musk doesn't want you to know, the things that are happening on this show. Kind of interesting. So thank you for watching. I'm Mike Adams here, the founder of Brighteon.com, and that was Karen Kingston from The Kingston Report. God bless you all. Be safe. We'll talk again soon. Today's interview is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com. And if you haven't yet tried our hand-roasted, certified organic fair trade coffee, you should check this out. I have a bag here on my desk. This is good stuff. And we have different varieties available here in the store. There's a low acid blend here that's available. You can get three bags or you can get one bag, 100% organic, certified organic and lab tested. So did you know that a lot of coffee, or some of it, can be high in cadmium? Just like chocolate can sometimes be high in lead, coffee can be high in cadmium sometimes. It depends on where it's grown, but we test, of course, for lead and cadmium, plus glyphosate, plus microbiology. So if you get coffee from us, it is laboratory tested, it is certified organic, it is fair trade, and it is incredibly delicious. People truly rave about this coffee. Now, I'm not a coffee drinker, so I don't know how good it is, but people tell me it's amazing, and they love it. So check it out, healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for supporting us and for supporting this show. A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you, simply because I want like-minded people to survive.